This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Look out, music haters. The Rock Band 3 MIDI Pro adapter is in the house, and we hooked it up to a $6,000 drum set. Overkill much? Plus, we're giving away an extend play and look at Satoru Iwata's comments from his GDC keynote. Tonight is March 6, 2011, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Keep your Pokemans in your pants. No, I do not want to let you show me them. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us live here on All Games Radio. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, unless you're talking about wanting to show me your Pokemans, because I really don't want to see them, even though that game came out today. A little bit later on, we're going to open up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word. You can call us toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can also email me feedback@BobbyBlackwolf.com. So the first thing that I'm going to do tonight is actually something I don't usually do here on the show. This is very, very exciting. I don't usually do giveaways on the show or contests, but I actually do have something to give away, and it is related to something I've talked about before, and I wanted to follow up on it a little bit. It's about the Extend Play. Now, if you remember what I was talking about last week about the Extend Play, this is a peripheral that goes onto your controller, and it helps with hand position and stuff, and it alleviates cramping and fatigue. And I got several emails back about my review of it, either by people who have an Extend Play and it actually really worked for them because there may be like squeezers on the control, and this actually helped them not squeeze the control and so they could play for longer, or people who said that they did have the cramping and they couldn't really tell if, you know, I was really endorsing it for them. So what, you know, and so just because I didn't get that much out of it myself doesn't mean that you might not. So I have an Xbox 360 one that I am able to give away to people. I don't have the PS3 one. I have the Xbox 360 one, and I'd like to give it away to somebody who maybe has, you know, maybe cramps up when they play for long periods of time on their Xbox 360, or gets fatigued, or something about, you know, maybe their wrists hurt or something. I want you to be able to give it a try, and then you can come back and tell me if you feel that this product is worth it, because I mean, obviously it didn't work for me, but just because it didn't work for me doesn't mean it's not going to work for somebody else. So what I want people to do, and this is going to go on for a week, since hey, the podcast feed's updated now, you have a whole week to get into it. I want you to email me at contest@BobbyBlackwolf.com, contest at BobbyBlackwolf.com. Put Extend Play in the subject line, Extend Play. And I want you just to write the last time that you've really felt you had to stop gaming because your hands hurt. Tell me a story about it. And preferably if you have an Xbox 360, because that's the one we're giving away. So, you know, write a story. I hope it's true. But if it's not, that's fine. And I'm going to pick from the legitimate entries. I'm going to choose at random. I'm going to roll a die or something. I don't know. I may even do it live on the air. Roll the die on the air. You'll get to hear it bounce around on my table and everything. And I'll send you an Xbox 360 Extend Play. So and then you can try it out, and you can tell me if you know, I was off base with what I said on the show last week. So contest@BobbyBlackwolf.com, contest at BobbyBlackwolf.com, and write a little story. And I'll read them on the air next week, even if you don't win. So, and then one other announcement I wanted to make, before I get into this is kind of, I know some people hate that I do announcements like this before I get into the content of the show, but this is more about what's going to be on next week. I'm very excited about this. We've actually had this planned for a couple weeks, but I didn't announce it yet because I didn't want people to forget. We have a live interview next week. Next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Bobby Blackwell Show, right at the beginning of the show, a live interview with Grammy Award winner Christopher Tin. He is the composer of, we've played it on the show several times if you listen live, the Civilization IV piece, Baba Yetu. He won a Grammy for it a couple weeks ago, as well as for his first album. And he has agreed to come on and do a live interview with us. And the reason we didn't do it sooner was because he was going to GDC, and then he's coming back from GDC today. So we're doing it next week. Right here, you can actually go into the chat room next week, and you'll be able to submit your own questions for Christopher Tin. It's going to be about a maximum of 30 minutes, because he has to leave at 5:30. So we'll be doing a 30-minute live interview with Christopher Tin, Grammy Award winner. I think it's the first time we've had a Grammy Award winner on All Games Radio. So bring your best questions. You can also email me or use the feedback form on BobbyBlackWolf.com if you can't be here live of suggested questions, and I may put them in. And attribute them to you. So I'm very excited about that. He's a great guy. I've met him once. He probably doesn't remember me because it was like 5 years ago, but I met him once and he was cool then. So it's going to be really cool to have Christopher Tin, Grammy Award winner, on the show. All right. That's it. That's enough for the announcements. Now it's time to get into kind of my review for the week. And the funny thing is everybody's already tuned me out. Like, I announced this earlier and everybody's like, really? Really, you're going to talk about Rock Band again? But this is something different. This is a little different spin on it. That it's been very difficult to find this peripheral. It's called the MIDI Pro Adapter for Rock Band 3. And what this does is allows you to use a MIDI instrument that you may already own with Rock Band 3. I was able to finally find it at Best Buy today, mainly because the Fender Squire was released. And the Fender Squire, you can't find anywhere, even though theoretically it's out. And that's the guitar with strings, actual strings, instead of buttons like the Mad Catz controller. But that guitar, it's also a MIDI guitar, and then, you know, it uses the MIDI to talk to Rock Band. But I didn't buy it for the guitar. Even though I'd like to have that guitar, I can't afford it right now. But I hooked it up to my professional gigging drum set, which is, you know, if you go into Guitar Center and you look at the drum set that I have, it's still about $6,000. And I bought it many years ago. I've had the drum set longer than I've been doing this show. So let me put it to you that way. It's the Roland V-Drums, the TD-20. It doesn't have the $500 expansion to it. So if anybody knows their V-Drums, it is the stock base TD-20. I hooked it up to try to play Pro Mode, the Pro Drums Mode, on Rock Band 3. And one thing that's very apparent with this is that it's not as pro as the guitar probably is. The guitar really does have a one-to-one ratio. If you learn the song on guitar, on the Pro guitar, you can play it. If you learn the song on Pro Drums, not necessarily will you be able to play it exactly the way it is on the CD. And it's because of the limitations of the game controller for Rock Band. Now, going into the MIDI Pro, the MIDI kit, the MIDI Pro adapter, which is $40, it does some things really neat, where it's got a little switch that you can switch between keyboard, drums, and guitar, so it knows what signals it needs to send. And it has a velocity sensor, or a little dial that you can turn up and down the velocity. That way, if you do have crosstalk on drums, or you tend to, you know, maybe hit things a little bit soft, or you accidentally hit a drum softer, it's not going to register. So you can actually adjust the sensitivity right on the unit. Some people were thinking that the unit could be used as a controller. It really can't. It's got a D-pad, which is actually an analog stick, I believe. It just looks like a D-pad. And it's got the face buttons and select and start, and that's it. It doesn't have any triggers, doesn't have any kind of other sticks. It's mainly just to navigate the Rock Band menu. I hooked my drums up to it, and it mapped everything correctly. It mapped everything the way that I thought it would in terms of this cymbal does this, this drum hits here and everything. So I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to change anything around. When I was playing Guitar Hero, because the Guitar Hero drum set has a MIDI input, I actually did the same thing with Guitar Hero World Tour a couple years ago. And I actually did have to rearrange some of the wires and make it think that some drum, one of the cymbals was a different cymbal so I could use it the way that they intended it. This one, it worked right out of the box. The problem is, the game was still charted with the idea of using the game controller with the cymbals and not really a drum set. This is very apparent when you play anything that has a hi-hat in it, because the way that they chart hi-hat notes in Pro Mode drums is the yellow cymbal is a closed hi-hat and the blue cymbal is your open hi-hat. So, and when you're using the Pro Mode drum set, the actual game controller with the Mad Cat cymbal attachments, it's not bad. It's still not exact, but it's not bad. When you're actually playing on a real drum set with a real hi-hat, and the blue cymbal is your ride cymbal on the other side of the drum set, it is not natural. It's not very easy to do that, and there are a lot of songs that do that that are I'm having a lot of trouble passing because I'm having to, you know, I'm playing a fast eighth note pattern on the hi-hat, and when an open hi-hat, which basically you would just lift up your left leg, that's how you would act, or left foot, that's actually how you would play that. You wouldn't move your arm at all. It'd just be timing of your left foot. I'm actually having to go all the way across my body to hit the ride cymbal and then get back. And it's kind of confusing. And it's not easy to get into that. And then it sounds bad. You know, if you actually play a song like that, they're going to laugh you right off the stage. So basically, the pro drums mode is not still not one-to-one, and it really can never be one-to-one with playing real drums. It can definitely... Pro drums isn't going to help you any more than the regular drums will in learning how to play drum set. The drum mode in Rock Band is great for people if you want to learn timing, syncopation, independence between your hands and feet. It's great for all of that. But you're not going to be able to directly translate the expert pro drums version of a song behind a real drum kit and be able to play it. Now, the guitar one, yes, you probably could. But for pro drums, that's not going to be what you're going to be able to do. And unfortunately, just because of the awkwardness of some of the things they have you do, which makes sense on a game controller with the cymbal attachment, but makes no sense whatsoever on a real drum set, it actually gets more difficult than it needs to be at the higher levels. You know, they have you crashing on the hi-hat because that's your left cymbal when you're actually playing one of the songs in on the game controller, because they have you hitting your two crash cymbals, which would be the green and the yellow cymbal if you're playing behind a kit, but the yellow cymbal is your hi-hat now. So it really doesn't translate well to a real kit. So basically, bottom line is, if you were thinking about getting an electronic drum set, because, I mean, obviously I have a high end, but they've got a lot of great low ends. I really like the Rolands. The Yamahas aren't bad either. If you were thinking about getting an electronic drum kit and hooking it up to Rock Band to learn how to play drums, it's not going to work as well for you. You'd almost be better off getting maybe the Ion kit that looks like a Rock Band game controller, rather than getting an actual drum set where your hands are actually in the right place, the hi-hat's in the correct place and stuff, because this is not going to be a one-to-one thing for you. Bozo says, I wish I could play Rock Band 3. My TV refuses to calibrate correctly to actually be playable. I wonder if you had the same problem I do with my new TV, which was an LCD. It actually doesn't do the correct calibration for the video. Like, it was really hard for me to calibrate, because the Rock Band 2 guitar has the camera in it, and it doesn't want to calibrate. It sees more flashes than the game shows. I finally had to stand far away from the TV, have all the lights off, and turn around, and finally it got the flashes or whatever, and it got pretty close. But yeah, it was very difficult to try to calibrate. I'm going to probably put an article up on BobbyBlackWolf.com to kind of talk a little bit about it more. I kind of didn't want to go too much into it because I just bored our chat room to sleep. So I don't want to make people listen any more than they want to. I will have pictures up of how it looked. It is kind of funny to see a big, huge professional drum kit that you tend to see on stage with like Broadway productions and stuff being used as a game controller. But it'll be up there. I'll put it up there. So the news that I kind of want to talk about this week. Well, first, Game Developer Conference was this past week. And it was one of those times when I kind of wept for the Game Developers Conference a little bit. Because GDC more and more starts turning into E3 Lite. And I hate seeing that because I'm a developer myself. And E3 is a media circus. And this started really back when E3 was downsizing. Everybody started turning to GDC to make all their big announcements. And I don't think that GDC is the place for big announcements. It's definitely a place to announce like developer tools and maybe, you know, things that developers are going to be using. You know, like PlayStation announcing Home at GDC was perfect because that was a developer tool. It was something for game developers to expand on their brands. That's why they showed it there. But showing things about like, you know, 3DS announcements and games for the 3DS, GDC is not really the place. I understand that they kind of had to because the 3DS is coming out this month, but I kind of weep every time I see, you know, in the past when Cliff Bleszinski has come out with a chainsaw to show off the new Gears of War at GDC, that, you know, I don't think that belongs at GDC. I think that GDC should be about developers and tools that developers can use, techniques that developers can use, and leave the press conferences for E3. You shouldn't hold a press conference at GDC. Besides, Apple had a press conference across the street at the same time as, or, well, right after Nintendo's GDC keynote. Watching the coverage and watching everybody so upset that they don't have more game announcements and things like that, a GDC shouldn't be the place for that. I don't agree with GDC being the place for that. That's, you know, one of the things I really liked about going to GDC back when I was able to go was that it wasn't E3. It wasn't PAX. It wasn't any of these things. It was a place to see how the sausage is made, basically. Not what it looks like in the end, which is what we're seeing more and more of. We're seeing more and more game demos being shown there of, you know, upcoming games. You know, there was a Battlefield 3 demo, just an E3 style demo right there at GDC. I don't really think that stuff belongs. The Independent Games Festival should be basically the final games that you see there. I think that the IGF is great. Minecraft swept everything. And I think Amnesia did really well as well. But I think that those are the type of games that should be highlighted at GDC and not Dead Island. As great as the trailer was, did Dead Island really need to be shown at GDC? No, I don't think so. Did Battlefield 3 really need to have a private demo station at GDC? No, probably not. But, you know, tools showing what people could do, sure, those belong. You know, I never had a problem with games being shown if they were in the sense of this is the type of middleware that you can use. Bozo asks, isn't Gears used as this is what Unreal can do? It could. The specific time I'm talking about is not showing what Unreal could do. It was to announce the date it was coming out on Xbox 360. That's the Gears thing that I was talking about when he just came out and said the release date. He came out with a chainsaw, says it's coming out on this date, goodbye. And it was during the Microsoft keynote at GDC that year. And I'm like, that, you know, maybe if he did show what Unreal could have done, it would have been better. But he just announced the release date and that was it. But anyway, speaking of what should have been talked about at GDC, and this was, you know, Satoru Iwata, CEO of Nintendo Japan, came out and, you know, after they did their press conference of 3DS, he finally actually talked about things that mattered at GDC. And one of the things that he did at the end really caused a stir with a lot of people. And he basically called out Apple without actually saying the word Apple or Zynga or anything like that. But according to Develop Magazine, Nintendo CEO and President Satoru Iwata hit out on Apple's focus on building a large quantity of low-priced games on the App Store. The industry veteran said smartphone manufacturers don't value video games as much as they should. He says, quote, "We want consumers to appreciate the premium value of software through our platform. Although Microsoft and Sony are different to us, I believe we all share this idea 100%. We demonstrate a high value of game software. However, smartphones and social platforms are not all like ours. These platforms have no motivation to maintain a high value of game software for them. Content is just created by someone else. Quantity is how they profit. The value of game software does not matter to them." Unquote. And then he also goes on to talk about how the amount of games is creating a higher risk of failure and putting developers' jobs on the line. He says, quote, "Our industry has certainly expanded, but it also gives me concern. It is difficult to gain true hit status. With such competition, even being noticed is extremely difficult. Game development is drowning," unquote. So he was trying to say, you know, we need to innovate more to combat against the smartphones. But a lot of people kind of pointed out, you know, this is the guy whose platform has 90% shovelware on it. You know, now not, most of that shovelware is not actually created by Nintendo. It's by other third parties. But still, that's a valid point that, you know, there are 7,000 titles on the Wii and like 6,950 of them are utter crap. So, I mean, Nintendo is kind of into the quantity over quality game as well. But people point out there are 50,000 games on the App Store and many of them are free. And if they're not free, they're 99 cents. So there's a lot of competition there. And it's the traditional old powers are kind of scared of this because they're seeing all these people, you know, Angry Birds is a sensation. And if you ask anybody that's kind of in the old guard of consoles and stuff, they'll say that Angry Birds at 99 cents, they're hurting the industry because that game is worth a lot more than 99 cents. You know, people are saying that, you know, they're hurting everybody else by making a game as addictive and fun as Angry Birds, only 99 cents. Irichu says this while the U.S. WiiWare and DSiWare channels constantly get crap that wouldn't pass QA and the VC gets nothing, the virtual console gets next to nothing now. Doomplague says it's all shovelware because it won't get anything else. Havoc978 says there needs to be more innovation like My Notebook. Spazinator says Iwata talks about quality over quantity, get his platform the king of crap shovelware, kind of ironic. But I guess where he's trying to come from is like Nintendo themselves generally doesn't produce the shovelware. And that's kind of where I'm trying to highlight that part because everybody does say that. Oh, you know, Nintendo, that's all shovelware. It's on the Wii, but Nintendo hasn't really made the shovelware themselves. They've developed, a lot of people say the only good titles on the Wii are the ones that Nintendo made. And they've made some great quality titles on the Wii. But still, you know, it's kind of hard for, you know, I think the Wii has like 7,000 titles, or I don't know how many titles they have, but it's nowhere near the amount of games on the App Store, on Apple's App Store, or on Facebook. And they're kind of worried about that. Brad from PodCulture says, so they're making the same complaints as others made about Walmart. Doomplague says, Wii isn't the king of crap shovelware, smartphones are. And he's probably got a point. I mean, there's a lot of shovelware on the iPhone. It's just the difference is they're free. Bozo says games like Dead Space on iOS does show quality is coming. And there are there is going to be some quality on it. But also, you're going to have a hard time trying to convince people to pay over $10 for an iOS game. It's just not going to happen. You know, when they're trying to convince, you know, people to pay $60 for Dead Space on a console. Some people are going to say, oh, I'll just buy Dead Space on my iPhone for $10 and there we go. I don't need to buy this console. I don't need to do any of that. So it's really interesting. And it's gotten some pushback from people who says that Iwata just doesn't get it. That it's the old guard rallying against the new guard. The young guys get it, but the old guys don't. And, you know, there's some people that are saying that if you look back to 1983... If you look back to 1983, when the video game market crashed, what it was is that there were way too many crap games out there for cheap, and it devalued the rest of the content out there, and so the entire market crashed. except that one actually was by the company that created the system. Thank you, E.T. Grubber01 says, what will hurt Nintendo is when Apple releases the eye control pad, which we talked about previously here on the show. Don't know when that's coming out, but the iPad 2 is coming out. And my iPod Touch is obsolete starting next week. Maybe this week. Whenever they now release the new iOS, it's not going to work on my iPod Touch. So I won't be able to play any of the new stuff or upgrade anything I've already purchased. This is why some people don't like to buy Apple products. Eric K. says, the seal of quality has also always been nothing. There was crap in the NES days, lots of it. And I do want to point out, the seal of quality doesn't exist anymore. They got rid of the seal of quality like 10 years ago, but nobody tends to notice that. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to have you can call in and talk about any of this stuff that we're talking about. You can give what you think about Iwata's comments that Apple is going to destroy gaming as we know it. Or you could talk about any games that you've been playing that I haven't been playing. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
Listen to the Bobby Blackwell Show on AllGames.com. Woohoo! It's number one.
I thought Chatterbox Video Game Radio was number one.
I'm number one. The heck with everybody else. You're listening to the great radio show. Now have a rotten day.
Charles Martinet, who's going to be out of a job because of iPhone games. That's what Satoru Iwata said. Charles Martinet, he's going to be out of a job. Do you really want to see Charles Martinet out of a job? Buy Nintendo games. Welcome back. You can leave a bumper. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. And I will put music behind it and play it on the show. As every other podcast you're listening to tells you, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. Get a 14-day free trial, just like the Blue Guy did, and get a free audiobook. And that's yours to keep even if you cancel the after the trial, like the Blue Guy did. There's also great books about video games on the site, but some other titles. You know, I'm still really big on the World War Z audiobook, Star-Studded Cast. It's awesome. You can make that your free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can talk about anything going on in gaming, some stuff at GDC that you might maybe that I didn't cover that you wanted to talk about. Maybe you have comments on Nintendo versus Apple, even though Nintendo didn't mention Apple by name. Any games that you have been playing. A lot have come out that I have not been playing, and that's where you come in. However, if you want to show me your Pokemans, leave them in your pants. We really don't want to see your Pokemans. So in chat, while we were waiting, some people were talking about games that they liked and games they didn't like. Dark Tetsuya, as he was a terrible person for not liking Super Mario Galaxy 2. And if he liked New Super Mario Bros. Wii more, who cares if anybody thinks you're a terrible person? So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby, it's Ron. How you doing tonight, man?
Doing good. What's up, Granma?
Not too much. If you don't mind, I want to make a comment on something you said two podcasts ago. Is that okay?
Okay.
Cool. I was listening to what you were saying about the whole Sony PlayStation 3 hacking and your honest opinion about how you felt about the whole situation.
Right.
I pretty much agree with you on that.
Woohoo!
But the one thing about the whole thing that really bothers me is that when you look at the end user license agreement from back in the day to now, mm-hmm. at one point where when you bought something, the license agreement said it was yours. You could pretty much do what you wanted with it, to the point where you're only buying a license or a right to have this. What you're holding here is just a physical medium. You just have a permission to play it. You have only the permission to use the console. It's like, yeah, you paid for the hardware, but somehow it still isn't yours. You have to abide by the rules.
Well, you only have to abide by the rules if you want to connect to their online service.
Which I have no problem with. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know people who have modded consoles.
Yeah.
half the time, they don't even jump onto the network. Mm-hmm. They have a separate console just for that. I mean, if I know people that have modded consoles, they're going to play together with me, I'm cool with that because I know that person. Mm-hmm. But if I'm just randomly matching with somebody that has a modded system and they're doing this and doing that, I'm not going to have that. I don't think that's really fair.
Yeah, and I mean, I've never had a problem with them saying, no, you can't go on our network, because to me, the car analogy, which some people say is a bad analogy.
I don't mean to cut you off, but the car analogy is a perfectly good analogy. Mm-hmm. You bought the car, and you have to abide by the rules of the road to use the car. If you're going to make all these modifications and so forth, you should not be on the road with it, because what if something happens and somebody gets hurt or killed? You are liable for it because you didn't abide by the rules of the road by modifying your car.
Mm-hmm. And just to make it clear, we are not equating modding your console with killing somebody. It's totally
true,
different.
True, but I'm just saying, something like that can, you know.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. And I mean, I'm okay with people doing it as long as they don't go online. Now, I mean, I'm still anti-piracy, you know, because I think that's terrible. Just because I'm a developer and I hate being stolen from myself.
Well, I hear you. I work in IT. I'm the tech support guy. Mm-hmm. I'm the one where I'm working in the store. Someone's coming in buying the hardware, and they're like, and I tell them, you need this software. Oh, I can get it from somebody. Oh, I have a copy. A friend of mine works in this department. He'll get me a copy. Mm-hmm. And there I am trying to convince them it doesn't work that way. Because if something happens and you give that serial and they find out it's not yours – then what?
Yeah. So no, I mean, I agree with that, and you know, luckily I haven't gotten any more emails from people who think I should be boycotting Sony and that I'm the problem.
Oh, please look, it's your show. You should say what you feel. If you don't want to promote them, don't promote them. If you want to, go right ahead. I mean, for me and my podcast, I have a beef with Crunchyroll, but I'm not going to stop my listeners or my people I work with from supporting them. That's their business. I have my opinion, and I'm not going to continue to – I won't force my opinion on them.
Well, I force mine on my listeners, so that's where we differ. Mm. Anything else on your mind, man?
No, that's it, man.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll-free North America. Bobby Blackwolf Show is all one word. Gripper01 wants to point out that Sony is opening up the motion controller for home developers. They probably announced that at GDC. That's the type of stuff that belongs at GDC, announcing that they're opening up things for home developers. They showed off all this new stuff for PlayStation Home that most of us will never see. But they announced it at GDC, and that's the right stuff to put at GDC. We have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Eric K.
Eric K. How do you pronounce where you changed your name to?
Eric Chu.
Eric Chu? That's lame. What's up?
It's a reference to something. Yes. Anyways, I wanted to ask you what you thought about the expansion to Magicka.
Oh, Magicka Vietnam.
Yeah.
Most insane idea ever. I loved the trailer. But, yeah?
Have you played The Throngs of Virtue? Seems like they went in that route.
No. No, I haven't. I mean, and even Magicka, Magicka lost some of its luster for me when I realized that it wasn't a single-player game, and I was trying to play it as a single-player game. So as cool as it looks and just how funny it is to see, you know, mages in robes going around Vietnam with you know, rock music playing, it's, you know, it's not going to fix the fact that it's a co-op game that has a single-player mode attached onto it.
That game sounded interesting, but I don't want to play unless I have somebody to play with.
Yeah, because it's apparently very balanced if you have more than one person. But if you don't, then it gets really frustrating really quickly. Magicka does, and I bet they won't fix that for Magicka Vietnam, because the whole point of Magicka is for the co-op.
No, I mean, I still have something to ask. I wanted to know if you could recommend this game to somebody like me.
Which game?
Magicka.
Even
for single player.
I already did like a 20-minute review a couple weeks ago. So that's basically where it is. And like I said on the review, it's probably worth it if you have people to play with. But it's, you know, and I wouldn't recommend using the controller, although some people disagree with me. We had a caller that disagreed with me on that. And it's not that great single player. It jumps in difficulty way too quickly, and it just gets really hard because it thinks it's created for at least two people, and you're just one person, and you can't team up. Mm-hmm. There's no mercenary in the game that you can hire that can be the second player for you.
Well, thanks for letting me call, and I'll hang out so somebody else can call.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Eric Kay, he is the host of RP Grinders here on allgames.com. RPGrinders.com is their website. They're live on Fridays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And I was on their show recently and told Frank Branches how much his graphics sucked. It's great. It was a fun show. You should listen to that. Also, I was on Crushcast as well on Friday night. I basically just did all these other shows on Friday night, and it was a lot of fun. So check those out. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Spazinator, speaking about Ronma's call, I'm against modding and pirating simply because the console game manufacturers end up devoting resources to combating this, resources that could be better served to improving their games and services. Havoc 978 says, Bobby was a podcast whore. I was. That night I was. Because people wanted help. Frank Branches needed a lot of help. Because the main game I talked about on RP Grinders was Radiant Historia. I am almost actually done with it. I've been playing it all week. Still love it. It's, you know, I'm getting more into the time travel aspect of it, quote unquote, and really getting more into the fact that it is a linear story that is masked by the fact you're doing time travel, so you don't think it's as linear as it is, but it really is a linear story even with two timelines, because it kind of tells you when you need to go back to the other timeline, and, you know, you can't go back to that other timeline until you get into this point of this timeline, etc. So it really is a linear story, but it's got that time travel mechanic to add for the puzzles, and later on the quests even get a little bit more obscure with where you need to go in terms of back in time. They're not as straightforward as they were in the early part of the game. So it really does make you think, in the end, on where you need to go in what timeline to complete a side quest to get better armor and better weapons and things like that. So anyway, I guess that's it. We won't, since nobody else is going to be calling in, that is all the calls we're going to take. Thank you. The phones are closed. Thank you to those who did call in tonight. And coming up next, here on All Games Radio, is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California that talk about games for much longer than we do, and they cover a lot more variety of topics than we do, and we like to check in with them before they do their show. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Hi, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's up, guys?
Excellent. Not too much, I suppose. Just another Sunday. It's a rainy day, so today's a perfect day to stay inside and play video games all day. Mm-hmm. So. Or talk about them on the internet, listen to radio shows about them. Either will do.
It's kind of funny. Like, no, now everybody wants to call in.
That's always the way it works.
I've been begging for like 6 minutes, and now Jim Selle is like, I would call in, but Bobby never answers my calls.
Oh.
Thanks, Jim.
Sometimes you just have to kind of hit redial over and over because it just seems to come and go in waves. And I don't know if the buffer that we have has anything to do with that or what.
I don't know.
Yeah. So.
It was 5 minutes.
So you pretty excited about your guest next week?
I am. I'm so excited about it. Christopher Tin, for those that missed it. First Grammy Award winner on All Games Radio.
And the first Grammy winner you ever met, right?
Yeah.
I met a Grammy winner once. It was years ago. Has nothing to do with video games, but at a winery, I met a lady, and her name, I believe, was Mary Youngblood. Mm-hmm. She had won a Grammy for Native American music.
Oh, wow.
She was pretty bitching too. She had an impromptu concert thing going on. It was like this whole little party at a winery. So,
well, that's cool. I mean, I've met people that have like won awards in the music business because they were like they were working on like the technical side of a record or something.
You also do a lot of music. You know, in case people don't know, there's a reason you talk about music games a lot on your show. Yeah. That's because one of your other big passions is the whole drumming thing and a lot of stuff you've done for the footballs and all that. So, you know.
Yeah, but see, what's funny is that's not where I've met these people. It's like at my day job, I go to the co-location facility all the time. And the people that run that used to be in the music business. And they actually do have gold records on the walls. Because they did like the mixing or something of a record that went gold. So they got one of those plaques and stuff. So it's interesting, the people you meet in weird places.
I know, exactly. So, or I guess if it's to bring it back to video games a little bit, sometimes Game Developers Conference can be a great place to go to kind of meet people in a interesting place, because I know a lot of people just through Twitter and so forth that actually went to Game Developers Conference this week to try and like find jobs or, you know, get their foot in the door somewhere or try to deepen their ties in the industry and so forth. So
yeah, well, that's the big thing. One of the big things at GDC is that there is the whole recruitment area. Like that's an actual, you know, there's the expo, the exhibit hall, but there's also the job fair, which is the entire, you know, and basically all they do there, it's people, it's HR managers that take your resume, talk to you for a little bit, put it in file and stuff, and that's basically what they do. And they have, you know, some, you know, your first interview might be there, and then they'll follow up with you afterwards. But that's kind of the big job fair of the industry is at GDC. And that's kind of why, you know, that stuff is great, and that's kind of why I was always upset every time they would try to E3-ify GDC, you know, start doing press conferences for big releases and stuff. And it's also why I was not as upset that they started locking out independent media from getting a press pass, because they did that 3 years ago, and there was nowhere near the outrage that there was as E3 got this year.
Right, right. Well, maybe because, you know, Game Developers Conference, you know, I think, at least I hope a lot of people kind of realize what it is, that it's not supposed to be the place where, you know, we see all the latest and greatest demos and the new games that are coming out before Christmas. I mean, we do get a little bit of that. I think especially in Nintendo's case this year, I think a lot of it, of course, has to do with the fact that 3DS is coming out next month. And, you know, we had yet to know a lot of some of the finer details.
We're in March.
Oh, gosh, that's right. We're in March now.
Yeah.
Hello. So, yeah, later this month. So time was running out to really tell us all those details and give us extra reasons why we need this on launch day. Because, you know, since they have a little bit of, I'll just be honest, lack of games for the launch window, they need kind of something to really help drive the sales, be it Netflix or some of these 3D tech demos or whatever else they're going to be doing with it.
And also, there were, you know, the NGP was launched since last time they spoke to anybody in public. Oh. So they had kind of had to say, you know, we're still here, guys. Don't cancel your pre-orders yet.
Come out swinging a little bit.
But, I mean, it was just seeing stuff like that, and, you know, like, people were like, oh, I got, the, you know, a demo of this, you know, game, like Dead Island was the one that everybody was talking about. And, you know, as much as I really enjoy reading Aubrey Morris on Twitter, GDC's not the place to do, like, game reveals and game demos and stuff.
Right,
to me.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's always going to be there, and it always was there, but I don't think, because it gives the wrong impression. And then when people don't announce stuff at GDC, the gamers that don't understand what GDC is get all upset that nothing was announced there.
And it's not that long of a wait for E3. And at this point, you know, something that's in the picture now that wasn't there 2 years ago, PAX East.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see some announcements coming out of PAX East in the vein of Duke Nukem Forever being real, y'all, was last PAX Prime.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't doubt there's going to be probably some bigger announcements coming out of PAX East. And, you know, I don't think Nintendo's... I mean, Nintendo's shown at PAX Prime, but it's probably harder for them to get to PAX East, so maybe these 3DS announcements... I guess there was no other choice but to do it at GDC.
Well, and what sucks is that nobody makes... I mean, other than, like, you know, maybe one or two announcements. People... The game developers don't... Or the publishers don't take PAX as seriously as they probably should. Because, I mean, you know, Duke Nukem Forever is actually real. That was, like, what, the only big announcement that happened at PAX Prime. You know, a couple of years before, the big announcement was, oh, Penny Arcade has a video game coming out. Like, that was a PAX 08, the one that we went to, you and I. That was the big announcement. I think it was that, and...
It was supposed to be a bigger deal than it ended up being, sadly. Yeah. I mean, you know...
So I think that's the problem, is that somebody needs to step up.
I thought when we went, though, they were announcing Episode 2. I thought it already had been out, and that was it.
Ah, well... Whatever.
It was one of the PAXs I went to. That was the big announcement and stuff. And the only other thing I can think of is like they had the a brand new Halo 3 multiplayer map was the final map of the Omegathon.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Well, that was not the same year we went, but still,
yeah,
you know,
that was probably the year before.
Yeah,
and but I mean, like that's it, and that's not the kind of big announcements people are looking for. They're looking for E3 style announcements, and I think unfortunately. you know, the consumers and gamers don't take PAX as seriously because they're like, oh, they're not going to announce anything there.
Yeah.
And I think it would be good for the industry as a whole to kind of take some of the pressure off of everybody wanting to go to E3, because that's the thing. Everybody's like, I want to go to E3, I want to go to E3. And I always say, PAX is what people who have never been to E3 think E3 is. But they don't want to go to PAX because no announcements are made at PAX. They want to be a part of announcements, and they don't realize the announcements made at E3, you're probably not going to be able to get into, even if you are in E3.
Yeah, exactly. Just because you get into E3 doesn't mean you get into all the cool announcements. That's
exactly.
That's a big thing that people don't realize, I think. So, but we'll see. I mean, hopefully we'll get some exciting things out of PAX East and ultimately PAX Prime. I think PAX Prime's biggest hurdle is that it's so close to the holidays. You know, considering that the holidays really start around Halloween this day and age, that might be its biggest thing. But we'll, who knows? Maybe we'll get some surprises out of PAX East in this coming week. I sure hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
It's my convention. I'm kind of bummed I'm not getting to go this year because, you know, I went last year and it already outgrew that building they were in. So apparently they're in a bigger place this year, and I'm really sad I can't see it in its new space.
Mm-hmm. So, what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Well, there's quite a bit of news going on, not just because of GDC, but you know, some of the other things happening, especially in the legal world, legal problems around the Sony PlayStation 3 and GameStop. We got to talk about that tonight. The return of one of my favorite 80s arcade classics in HD. Never thought it would happen, but it's coming. And flood of news on the new Mortal Kombat game, one of my biggest guilty pleasure series. It's one of those series, like, I don't know why I like it, but I really do, and I really want to play this new one. But I can only play it if I pay Sony more money.
Do you think that Apple is killing the console games?
Oh, boy. I don't know if you have enough time for me to get into this. But
is this on your show roll for tonight?
No, it is not on our show roll for tonight. We are going to talk iPad 2, but not from that angle. I think Iwata has a point when he talks about quality, because there's very few quality games on Apple. Yes, of course, there are some diamonds in the rough. You know, Angry Birds, Cut the Rope, that freaking Swords and Poker.
No, stop. Don't even do that. Because here's the problem. You know, on the behind-the-scenes part, you have to understand, Nintendo is one of those companies that has the slimmest margins for their games. They think that everything is worth buku money because they're Nintendo, and that's why. That's why they go out and put out a game that was on the Super Nintendo on a DVD, do nothing to it, and then charge $30 for when a game that really is worth probably about $8 at the very most, which is still overpriced for a ROM, on their virtual console service, which they don't even really do anything with nowadays. Because they're Nintendo and they think, hey, guess what? People are going to buy this stuff. So all they're doing is complaining because those games are selling a lot more copies than games they spent time on. And honestly, who cares about Mario Sports Mix or anything like that? You know, ooh, it's a sports game with Mario. That I bet you spent a lot of time developing that. I mean, it's just a lot of complaining because they didn't think of it first, and complaining because it's going to be a problem for them in the market. And no, they are right. It does make it hard to justify a $50 purchase for a game that might not be that great. You know, like the Mario versus Donkey Kong March of the Minis type thing. It's a $20 game. I mean, that's kind of the same type of stuff that you see on iOS or whatever.
I do concede that the bar probably needs to come down a little bit, and maybe that's what it's going to come down to, which is going to be very interesting because the budgets for games keep getting higher and it's driving the price up, but now we're all getting a little spoiled. But let me put it this way. I could kind of sum up my thoughts like this. I would rather play Fusion Frenzy 2 or Bomberman Zero, take your pick, for a 24-hour period than some of those freaking iPhone games I've had to play before that are just terrible games. Terrible games. That new Twitter app is awful, too.
Yeah.
Dick Barr needs to go away.
And you know what's also kind of terrible about the iOS platform as well is that a lot of those games actually have free version demos that you can check out. Oh, well, but Nintendo doesn't do that because they're Nintendo. They're too good for demos. Our games should speak for themselves. You don't need to actually play a demo of our game.
Argument to be continued in about 5 minutes here at All Games Radio.
Excellent. OrangeLoungeRadio.com up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
So that's it. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio with an interview, live interview with Grammy Award winner Christopher Tin. Made the music for Civilization 4, Baba Yetu. It won a Grammy a couple weeks ago. He is going to be live here on the show. So join us in chat. Interact with the show directly, and you can submit your own questions using the form at BobbyBlackWolf.com. Remember, we have a contest to win an Xbox 360 Extend Play. That information is at the beginning of the show, so rewind back to the beginning of the show and get the info there. Leave us a voicemail on any topic, or leave a bumper for using our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, or at 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Join our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/BobbyBlackwolf. Email me your thoughts and opinions at on our website, BobbyBlackWolf.com. Or you can join us over here at AllGames.com. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, DC Nate, Derek H, GK128, The Rob D, Binary667, DoBlueGuy, DoomPlague, Havoc, Kitsune, Maximilian, Octocomo, Pandalicious, Shadow NextGen, SoulGas907, THK, TigerClaw, ActDev, AlphaCananagram, Alt, AtkinsSam, BaconBits, Billy OK, Bozo, Burning Paper Sun, Brad from Pod Culture, Burr, Cedabria, D5T, Dark Tetsuya, Dark Toagak, D'Artagnan, Dungeon Buster, Eric K, Frank Branches, Frosty Toagak, Game Guru, Gnarls Gnarlington, Gripper01, Havoc978, Hitstun, J Irv, Jim Sally, J Rush, Kazan, Nuxonic, Loserly, Maginomicon, Mattman, or Mataman, Matt Cube, Melted General, MXC, Necromoss, Punchy, Ranma, Rob Roberts, Ruben, Sean, Silversonic 6, Spazinator, Spyro, SSJ100, Matt, Subzy, Surtur, Tedekin, True, Unfolded Raptor, What Up G, Wilcon, Zappy, and Zeba. I am just speaking all over myself tonight. That's it, Christopher Tin, next week, and hope to see you here. It's going to be a great show, and if anybody makes a joke about the line that the VO guy says, I'm going to ban you.
A winner is you.
Don't say it.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of All Games Radio or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios for All Games Radio.